the last few days has been quite something. Since 6 o'clock yesterday morning, I've had 30 minutes sleep, so if I keel over, you'll understand why. Very tired, and so is Jim, and so is Donnie, because he's been right there with us to help us. This is a up and down situation from what we're understanding. The medical update that we wrote yesterday together with Jim, just as involved and engaged as could be, says very good news, and I'm thankful to be able to share that, and then I'll catch you up to where we are now. So Jim was at home, and he will be home for the next week, recuperating and continuing to gain strength. No wonder I can't see this. He is struggling with weakness in his legs, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. So he's exercising by walking as much as he can inside the house, and there's been significant improvement in quite a few other areas, such as appetite, cognition, sleep, and definitely his blood numbers. The doctor advises to keep walking, and she'll connect with us again on Monday morning. His blood numbers are all in the normal range, and the wonderful news we got late Friday evening is that from the two tests that have been completed so far, on the bone marrow biopsy, there is no leukemia present. Yes, thank you, Jesus. There is still one test outstanding, and we won't know the answer to that until Thursday morning. That one takes a long time to grow out, so continue praying that that test is as clear as can be, which we certainly appreciate that these other two are. The doctor will determine on Thursday, we're going to have a family meeting with her, and she'll determine then what the next step should be, whether that's continuing with chemo or switching to a different medication that targets leukemia cells, but at the same time boosts immunity, and it's much easier to tolerate for the body. And that's what she's strongly leaning towards. But as Donnie mentioned, over the last couple of days, he's had three major falls and one kind of fall, because his legs just give out from underneath him. And he's been retaining water significantly. So last night we went to bed, and as you probably know, he's sleeping downstairs because he can't get up the stairs, and Donnie rigged a camera in the room so that I can see him at all times and know what's going on. And just before I was ready to turn out the lights and call it a night, I checked the camera and he wasn't in the bed. And I knew that was unusual, because normally he's out and sleeps all night. And so I waited a few minutes, and then I heard a thud. And so I ran down the stairs, and sure enough, he'd fallen, and his legs were so weak he couldn't get up. And not even by crawling to the end of the bed, and, you know, both of us trying to get him up. So we had to make a decision, and that was either to call 911 or call Donnie. And we called Donnie. And he came over and helped us get him into the car. And we took him to ER. And they drained almost 2 liters of fluid off of him. And after they did, the doctor said, "I want to see you walk." And he got up with a walker and walked up and down the hall, which he could not do for the last 2 days. So the doctor was very sure that the accumulation of the fluid in the legs were contributing to the fact that he couldn't walk and he couldn't move them. They just sort of drug behind him. So we spent the night in ER, and the doctor came in at, actually she had him walk at 2:30 in the morning, and said, okay, you can go back to bed, but I'm going to have two tests done. I want a CAT scan on your head and an MRI on your lower back, because as you know, he had a lumbar puncture and then he had the bone marrow biopsy, and she just wanted to make sure there's no complications from that. The bad news is they got the CT scan done right away. The bad news was there was no opening for an MRI until 1:30 today. And he could have nothing by mouth until after the MRI. Well, as you just saw, my phone just rang and he said, guess what? I had the MRI as soon as you walked out of the hospital. So he's ready to come home. So as soon as, yes. So as soon as I finish getting through this, if I can, I'm going to go get him and bring him home and make him walk all over the house. Well, maybe I'll feed him first, but then walk. So Donnie alluded to the fact that we had a really incredibly busy week. He came home from the hospital Tuesday after the pneumonia, was all clear, doing pretty well. And then we had a visit with Stanford on Thursday. This is very preliminary. We don't know where this is going to go. This will be totally up to the doctor and God to have a bone marrow transplant. This is a very risky business, and but his doctor feels that he's capable of getting through it. So please pray that the Lord's will is done. A bone marrow transplant is the only cure known. All the other measures are temporary. So obviously, we want the Lord to restore health, completely heal. And that's what we pray for, as Donnie said, every day. Complete deliverance and healing from this. But if a bone marrow transplant is the way that the Lord chooses to lead us, then we need strength and his guidance for that as well. So plenty to pray for, and we thank you so much for your prayers and all your expressions of love. So because of the busy, busy week that we had, like I said, we just brought him home Tuesday afternoon, back to Stanford all day long Thursday, and then he was not feeling well Friday and Saturday with the water retention and what have you. Yesterday morning, I said, honey, let's sit down and work on the message. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And he picked out the sermon that he had preached back last year in May, I think, or June maybe, called I Counsel Thee to Buy Gold of Me, Tried in the Fire, as you know the scripture well. And this is the message he wanted to deliver in addition to that. And I'll see you next week, as I'm going to leave as soon as I get this read. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And by the way, this happens to be one of his favorite subjects to talk about. So he was really engaged in this. The Lord returns for the believers in the rapture of the church. Now, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep or have passed, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also we believe that God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep as Christians. For we tell you this by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not go ahead of those who have already fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout of a command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, a shout of command, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be suddenly caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That meeting in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And his commentary on that passage says, the favored church, the Philadelphia church, of course, which we are, will be raptured. The Laodicean church, or the lax church, will be oblivious to the rapture of the true church. However, even the Laodicean church could be saved and go in the rapture if they would only repent. The rapture of the church can happen at any time, and we will instantly be with the Lord forever. This is why Paul said to the people, comfort each other with these words. Hope is not lost. You notice they're getting longer. The joy of forgiveness. 1 John 1 and 9, and we're using the New English Translation because we liked the way it read for that previous scripture. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dave, that was one of the scriptures Melva taught us over and over and over when we were young teenagers coming up. That was one of her favorite scriptures. And Matthew 6 and 12, and forgive us our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. As Christians, we live in the awesome place, or the world of, having been forgiven. We no longer have sin to be charged against us because of the blood of Christ and the work he accomplished at Calvary. When we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. So undeserving. The gold that we'll be talking about in the sermon today is the eternal life with Christ, which at all costs must be obtained through salvation. God bless you.
Title, Buy Gold of Me Tried in the Fire. And I kind of struggled with this a little bit until I got into the Word of God, and the Lord opened some understanding, at least to me. Sometimes I'm a little black and white. In other words, it almost has to be real obvious. Sometimes, if there's a meaning that's buried a little bit, but the Lord is able to open the door and give us understanding and help us to know what the Word of God especially says. God's not trying to keep a mystery going, but rather revelation and understanding of who he is. So I want to start reading this morning in the book of Revelations. We're going to read several verses in Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 3, I'm sorry, already erase that and go to chapter 3. We'll be reading some in starting in 7 and another section starting in verse 14. But this is our text today. Revelation 3 and 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Now the old King James says that you might buy from me gold tried in the fire. Means the same thing as refined. So I counsel you to buy gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the understanding, the revelation, and the strength of your word. And I pray today that you will bring blessing to your people and an understanding, Lord. There's a lot of issues that we come up against every day, and we seem to have battles and perhaps times that we don't understand. But I pray today that your word will unlock the secret to the battle and give us victory and give us understanding, Lord, that we serve you and that in you all things are possible. Bring blessing and strength in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to read this one verse because I want to kind of go over a section of history before I get into the word. In the book of Revelations, chapter 2 and chapter 3 are the message that Jesus gave to the seven churches of Asia. These weren't the only churches of Asia, but they were specific churches with characteristics that would represent the church period or the church age. The first church is the church of Ephesus. This is a church that John the Beloved, who is taking notes from Jesus, pastored in the Ephesian church. It is the apostolic church, and it is covering a period of time from the time of the birth of the church to 100 A.D. A.D. 100, however you want to hear that. This church, Jesus said, you've lost your first love. And we go on to the next church, which was the church of Smyrna, representing the period of time from A.D. 100 to A.D. 312. And that church had a different thing going on. They were the persecuted church. And then the third church was the church of Pergamum, the indulged church. Church that kind of did what they wanted to do. This is A.D. 312 to 606. And then the church of Thyatira, the pagan church, A.D. 606 to 1517. Now, the next church is Sardis, which is a dead church, a formalistic church. They have no commendation, and they have that in common with the church of Philadelphia. I'm sorry, the church of Laodicea. The church of Philadelphia had commendation, but no condemnation. But this church has no commendation, only condemnation. Boy, those are too close, huh? So they really have no good things said about them, but they do have the bad things, and they were given counsel and warning. But all of the churches still have promises, every one of them, no matter how bad things would get. Church of Philadelphia, which is the church of brotherly love, is represented the time period between A.D. 1750 until the rapture. And it is a church that is the favored church. It has only praise and no condemnation. The church of Laodicea represents from about 1900 through the tribulation. And you notice I said through the tribulation. I believe that the favored church will be taken away at the rapture, and this church will go through the tribulation because they're not paying attention to the things that God wanted them to pay attention to. And one of the things was this: I counsel you to buy gold from me, gold refined in the fire. But this church is one that, again, has no commendation, but only condemnation, but still a great promise if they would listen. And at the end of every message to the church, Jesus says, "Let he who hath an ear hear what the Spirit speaketh to the church." Going along with what Terry said, we all need to hear what the Spirit wants to do. Now, can I just add, this is not easy. It's easier just to do it ourselves. Number one, not to have to wait on the Spirit. Just do it. And there's a lot of churches that take that mindset. It's all in, you know, they're very, very intellectual. They go about things that, you know, that they have control over. But that's not getting the job done. You say, well, I know big churches that operate that way. They may be big, but it's not getting the job done. The church today has a responsibility to get out both the word and the message. Jesus is coming. Takes the Holy Spirit to do that. So I want to go back and read the whole message to the church of Laodicea. And it's to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. Now in every one of these messages, Jesus identifies himself as what would be the best representation of himself to the church. In other words, I'm Jesus, and I'm what you need. And here's the things that describe me in a way that you need to accept me, and you need these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That does not mean he was created. It means he was the creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And all things that were made by him. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. How many's heard that ministered a lot? Oh, I know you well. A church that doesn't understand that Jesus knows your works is a church that's in darkness. And a people that don't understand. You know what? There's some crazy things done in the name of the Lord. Have you ever heard some of these cult groups and so forth, and they're just a splinter off of maybe a fairly decent church, but somebody gets a crazy idea, and then they make a doctrine out of it and go off, and they bind people with something that's not the truth. We as Christian people need to know the truth. You need to take your Bible and read it and consume every part of it. Any church that doesn't want their people to read the Bible and understand the truth of themselves, you got problems. Amen? So Jesus said, I am the faithful and true witness. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Can you imagine that? Jesus said you're lukewarm. You're in the middle. I'd rather you be cold. Now, how is that, God? That you'd rather the church be cold than lukewarm. Because at lukewarm, they think they're right. At cold, perhaps they'd realize they're not. And if they're hot, then that's the way that God wanted people to be, is to pay attention, listen. And he said, because you're neither cold nor hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. That's one of the most disgusting things we ever hear Jesus speak about a church. Because you say, now this is what the church thought of themselves. I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. We've got it all. And do not know that you are, and this is what Jesus saw them as, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus saw a different picture. They thought they had everything, and Jesus said, you're way away from everything, and you're in need. You're in a desperate situation. So I counsel you to buy gold of me refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, and this word love is the Greek word phileo, which means brotherly love. As many as I love. The reason I bring that distinction is because I'm going to read to you out of the earlier part of this, where it speaks of him loving the Philadelphia church, and it's a different word. But Jesus said, you won't let me get close enough to really agape love you. That's a God kind of love. All I can do is love you as you love each other, and a man kind of love. But I rebuke, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. In other words, Jesus said, you need to get out of complacency and come to a place of realization you need to repent. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes, this is the promise. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I want to make clear that I'm not putting our church in this church's place. But what I want us to understand is what went wrong in that church, and we don't want to go there. And what went wrong in that church is they thought they could do everything themselves. You know, Laodicea was a wealthy place, and they had produced a dye that was purple, that made beautiful, beautiful garments, kind of that royal deep purple. That was one of their trademarks. That was one of their things that they were known for. But they had something else. They had an eye salve that was really advanced for that day, and it helped so many people in their eyesight to see better. I'm thankful for all of the eye, ear, and all of those things that we have today to help us see better, hear better. It's amazing. But this was a long time ago. But this eye salve was really ahead of its time. And the people knew that they had this. But Jesus said, your beautiful purple isn't what you need. And your riches and what wealth that you have. We need to understand that we cannot buy physically, pay money for the things of God. It comes through an experience that is free. Now, does that mean we don't give? No, we give because we've come to that experience that is free and we've accepted it and the blood of Christ covers us. But to be rich, it's not something that we can invest in. And there's a lot of ministries today, and I've spoken of this the last few weeks, but if you give $37, then you'll never have another need in your life. I think that's a lie. I really do. I think it's not only a lie, but I think it puts people in a bind. And if people follow that, and I know good people that want, who doesn't want to be a millionaire for $37? If I believed it, I'd $37 be gone, but I don't believe it. But it's not a matter that we cannot buy the things of God. We can only experience through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we become rich in obedience to him. It's a funny thing to say that it's not works. And yet when we're saved, we do works. But it has to come. The cart cannot be before the horse. The horse is not into pushing. The horse is into pulling. And so we have to get our works and efforts in the right place. Now in this verse, there's another verse that kind of coincides with it in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. It's one that Debbie's been meditating on lately. And it's, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. When you're thirsty, I was doing some work at the parsonage yesterday, and Claire was with me, and it was hot yesterday. I was putting things away, and she kept bringing me the water bottle, saying, here. And I was thirsty, so every time she offered, I took that drink because it was hot. I was thirsty. Come to the waters. Come to the waters. Someone keeps putting on, have you ever drank water from a pipe sticking out of a mountain? How many's ever done that? There's a place in Pineville, Kentucky that has exactly that setup. And people go out there and they get water. A place a little closer that I really like is Dunsmuir, California. It can be 114 during the day. You go over there and you put your bottle under that water, and that water comes out cold. And it is, I don't remember the Kentucky water, but I remember the Dunsmuir water. It is wonderful. When you're thirsty, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. How much sense does that make? You who have no money. There's been times I've had no money and I've needed things and I couldn't get it. Why? Because you had no money. But this is a different type of an experience. This is something that the Lord opens to us, and we can't buy it even if we had all the money in the world. He said, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's the experience. It's the same thing as the Laodicean church. I want you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I want you to commit your life and your spirit totally unto me and not trust in yourself and your ability. That's hard to do. It's easier just to jump in and do it. There's times where rather than hiring people to do part of the construction thing, I do it myself because I've explained it over, over, over and over, and people don't grasp it. So I'll just do it. Somebody said, what do you do on the job? I clean. Because it seems like everybody that comes in makes a mess, but they don't know how to clean. I don't know exactly where I was going with that, but we can come to God, and in the experience of Him, and now I remember, we can't jump in and help ourselves a bit. We can't sweep a floor. We can't build a wall. We can't install a window or a door. We need to wait and let God lead us, and then we walk in the steps that He guides us. And when we do that, then the Spirit opens doors that no one can shut. We'll go back to the Philadelphia church to get that. But ho, everyone that thirsteth. You can come and buy without money, because money doesn't get it. It's a matter of obedience to the Lord and experience with the Lord. Now, going back to the Philadelphia church, verse 7. Let me see. Oh, you know, one more thing about this Laodicean church. And that is the knocking. I think that's the saddest thing in the world, to picture a church where Jesus is on the outside knocking. And He said, if any man, He didn't say if the whole church. He said, if any man will open the door, I'll come in and have fellowship with him. I'll have fellowship with him. Years ago, when you had fellowship meeting, you had a dinner, and then you had church. How many remember that? That may be almost before my time. But I remember the fellowship meetings that we used to have. We had great fellowship and wonderful fellowship. Brother Wood told the story that his son Gene went about the time that they started doing away with the dinner because it was too much trouble. How many can see where that is? I mean, it's a lot of work to do dinner for a whole... And the fellowship meetings back then were attended by a lot of people. We could almost hold a fellowship meeting now, nobody would come because we're out of the practice. But they came and they had the meeting and they didn't have the dinner. And Gene, Brother Wood's son, said, well, where's the fellowship? Because we have a lot of fellowship around the dinner table. We as a church, we as families, we enjoy that fellowship. I can remember back as young as I can, and there was a fellowship with the whole family gathered around Grandma and Grandpa's table. It was huge, big old table, and lots of food, always very, very tasty because it was seasoned with the best lard you could get. Very, very good. Fellowship. Jesus said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and we'll fellowship. And I'll minister, and we'll eat, and we'll enjoy each other's company. But the promise is, if you will obey me and overcome, you can sit on my throne as well. And everyone that has an ear, let him hear. Now, going back to the Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, write these things, says, he who is holy and true, and who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts. I like this. I really like this. And shuts and no one opens. I know your work. I know your works. He knows everybody's works. Every church he sees what they're doing. And he's not blinded to that. I have set before you an open door. This represents the missionary part of the church that got started a few hundred years ago. No one can shut, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and not denied my name. Let me explain little strength. Little strength means there's not as many of you as the churches that are falling away. There's a lot of people who go to church, but there are some few that really are doing what the Lord wants. I wish that were different. I wish it were the other way around, but it's not the case. But there are those, and I think this describes us as a church, and most of the churches I've been associated with all my life, that they really care about what God wants them to do. You have little strength. There's not many of you, but you've kept my word. You know what? That's an important part of our church. We've kept the word of God. And because of that, and not denied his name, indeed I will make of those who are of the synagogue of Satan that say they are Jews or not, but lie, indeed I will make them to become and worship at your feet, to know that I have loved, and this is the agape love, loved you, because you have kept my commandments to persevere. I also will keep you from the trial which shall come upon the whole world and those who dwell upon the earth. And I believe that to be the great tribulation. Behold, I am coming quickly, and behold, and hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more from the presence of God. I will write on him the name of my God. Can you imagine that? We're going to have some names on us. The name of my God over here. And write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. The New Jerusalem over here, possibly. And the name of the city, New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. I don't know where that's going to go. Probably right here. But we're going to be labeled. You see people go in and out. Debbie's got a card for her work, and she can hold the card up and get in. So when the holy city's all set up, we won't need a card. We'll have it written here, here, and here. And when we go in, no one will say where you're going, because they know we're going where we belong. We belong. So we'll have the new name, we'll have the name of God and the name of the holy city. And the scripture says, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And I think that's the emphasis this morning. We've got to hear what God's speaking to the church. How can the church do any business, do anything at all? How can we even raise up without hearing from God and the Holy Spirit? Now there's the part of this scripture says, those that who say they're Jews but are not, they lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. Does that mean we're going to get worshiped? You want to vote on it? Really doesn't matter. We're not going to be worshiped. We're going to worship the Lord just like we are worshiping the Lord now. And what it means is those people who have given you fits, how many's ever said you're too fanatical? How many's ever said, my, you Pentecostals are too loud? You know what? The whole world is going to become Pentecostal, and they're going to join with us and worship God as the only one that to be worshiped. There's not going to be any options. There's not going to be any many ways to get to God. It's Jesus Christ sat upon this earth, ruling and reigning, and everybody's going to go along, or they're going to get out. They're going to be judged and pushed away. So the two churches that are here and present today are the Rapture Church, the Philadelphia, and the Laodicean Church. It's going to go on through the Great Tribulation. But God's counsel to all is the same, that we not depend on us, that we let the Lord guide us and strengthen us. I know that can be taken probably too far. I know that there are people that can probably never do anything because they're waiting on God to tell them what to do. When it comes tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, I'm not going to wake up and say, Lord, do you want me to get up? I have a meeting somewhere at 7 o'clock across town. I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock and go to my meeting. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. If you've got a job in the morning, you get up and go to work. That's reasonable. Scripture says, he who does not work does not eat. That's not always the case, but it's a good rule. There are things that we do, but when it comes to things that are of God and of the house of God, we need to let the Lord lead us and guide us. We need to have the Spirit infused in our hearts and lives. When we come to worship, I know we're physical people, but we're also a spiritual people. And we need the leading of the Spirit and the touch. I think that feeling the Spirit is one of the most awesome things in the world. Now, Jimmy Swaggart talks about the fads, and he always mentions holy laughter because I think he doesn't like it so much. And to me, whatever God lays upon an individual, let it go. How many's ever been slain in the Spirit? There's also movements to where people, you know, they go and they're slain in the Spirit. I don't know. I've been slain in the Spirit, and for me, it was refreshing. I mean, invigorating. Matter of fact, I'm open to be slain in the Spirit whenever God's ready. And it may be that for you. How many has ever been in a service where the preacher, usually evangelist, because pastors can't get away with this, they give a little push? I remember one time when I went on a Calvary Temple snow trip and I broke my leg, my foot. And I had a cast on, and I went to church in Pacheco, and there was a preacher, evangelist, that was praying, and he pushed. And I thought, are you kidding me? I got a broken foot. I do not want to be pushed. And so I resisted. You say you resisted the Spirit? No, I resisted man. I've gone and I've been slain in the Spirit, and I talked to my buddy. I said, that guy pushed me. He said, that guy didn't get within 3 feet of you. You went down in the Spirit without him touching you. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit of God. I'm not saying we need to see this every service, but every now and again it would be nice. Amen. And to let the Spirit of God have freedom to give us what direction he wants us to go. And if I can tell you what direction that is, then it's of me. But if we come and we wait before God and let the Spirit bring power to our lives, I believe that there's a strength in that. And there's an open door that God will give us that nobody can shut. Oh, I've had doors slammed in my face. How about you? And it's aggravating and it hurts. When you work real hard and somebody slams a door on you, I built one of the most beautiful houses in the world. Of course, that's my opinion. But I still enjoy going and visiting that house and thinking, wow, I can't believe it. It has everything. It is absolutely awesome. And I thought once I built that house, I would never do anything but big houses forever. I haven't done one since then. And I don't know why, but I do know this, that the architects and different ones control who gets the work. But here's the thing. When we serve God, God's going to open the right doors, and he's going to give us the right direction, and we're just going to trust in him. People can do what they do, but God can go beyond, and he can push against what people intend. So I'm kind of thinking maybe God knows where we're going, and he's going to give us what he wants us to do. Amen? And in the church, it's the same thing, folks. It's let the Spirit of God just rule and reign in your life. Let him direct. Let him dictate. But we can be rich, and I'm all for riches. I wish everybody was a billionaire. That would be wonderful. It'd be easy. You wouldn't have to worry about anything ever. But maybe that's not what God has for us all. And we'll go ahead and we'll have our ups and downs financially. We'll work hard and we'll succeed in some ways. Sometimes we may have setbacks, but God will be with us and he'll provide. He will provide. And we just have to depend on the Lord and open our hearts. But in that we will be rich in the things of God. And those things will pay off through eternity. Remember the name here, the name here, and the name here. We're going to have the names everywhere. That we can go and come into the holy city and we'll never have another need like we have upon this earth. Physically, we'll be able to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. That'll be great times. But God has things for you, and it will come through the Spirit. And he that hath an ear, how many has ears today? My ears could work a little better. One or the other's not as good as the other, but I forget which one. But if we have an ear, we need to hear what the Spirit wants to direct to our hearts and lives. Debbie, would you come to the piano? And we're going to pray. We're going to open our heart. I think today we would like to find a place and... how can I say this? There are times that we are kneeling unfriendly. How's that? Kneeling is hard. If you've got a knee issue, hip issue, or something like that. But I want us to kneel with our heart. Whoever can kneel, kneel, and whoever can't, kneel with your heart. Amen? And let's open our heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to hear your voice, and I want to do what you speak to me. I want to go your direction. I want to be rich because of the gold that's been tried in the fire. I want to be rich because I'm hearing your voice and not the voices of many others. I'm going to venture in scary territory for just a moment. If you hate me because of it, that's your prerogative. But yesterday someone posted on Facebook, President Trump speaking about someone who had been a gang member and a bank robber. And the fact that he had given his heart to the Lord and he had been saved. And now he has a ministry that's ministered to thousands of other inmates. And he said, this is the president talking. He said, this is what faith in Jesus makes a difference and a relationship. Now, if you don't like President Trump, that's fine. I don't care. But here's what I like. I like someone that's in his position giving credibility to the worship and to the Christianity that we believe strongly in. That is our life. For that, I think he deserves our prayers and encouragement. It's not a matter of political, it's a matter of what's right. And I'm thankful for that. But when we seek the Lord, realize that there's open doors that God can get to any place he wants to in our world if we'll just be obedient. Let's find a place and let's pray. Praise God.
Before we close in prayer, I just wanted to mention that my dad has been very, very blessed by the faithfulness of this church. You know, it's like, give us some credit, right? We'll be here every Sunday. But he said it's a miracle. And I just wanted to let you know that he is very, very blessed by your faithfulness, and as are we all. But we're a family, a body of Christ, and we take every opportunity we can get to be in his presence and to be here together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just go with each one of us here, Lord God, in strength, God, and in victory this week, God. Of all the things we've asked, Lord Jesus, in prayer, we know that you hold the answer and that we trust you, Lord Jesus. We trust you with our loved ones, with our family, with our jobs, with our finances, and with our health, Heavenly Father, because you hold the keys. You've opened the door that no one can shut, and we just pray that your will be done. In your name we pray. Amen.